No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now. Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tired of a set of people on the very far left in the Democratic Party, my party, telling us that in order for us to be progressives, we now have to believe ideas and support ideas that are completely nuts.
You got a set of defunding, decriminalizing, open borders. We have run that play and gotten our butts kicked. We don't need to do it a second time to see if it turns out, if the movie turns out any different.
So Shannon Bream, a couple of weeks ago on Fox News Sunday, did a really interesting interview with one of the co-chairs of the Democratic Socialists of America Party. And she led off with a couple of clips from noted rabid right-wing conservatives Van Jones and Rahm Emanuel. If you didn't catch the satire and sarcasm in my voice and you don't know who Van Jones and Rahm Emanuel are, they're no right-wingers. These are leftist Democrats. They used to be considered extremists, even in their own party. And, you know, Rahm Emanuel very famously, of course, worked for Obama and then mayor of Chicago. And, you know, very famously once said, no, never let a crisis go to waste. You know, make your expansion of government wherever you can, basically. Well, they're upset that their party has been co-opted by the socialists. You know, the actual socialists, like the people who are not, let alone embarrassed to say the word, they're proud of the word. They're Democratic Socialists of America, and they decided to basically take over the Democrat Party, and they have largely done so. Not every time, but they are winning elections, or they are challenging people who should otherwise be safe, or what you might historically have called not even moderate Democrat. Like, seriously, the Democratic Party is not, you know, all that moderate anymore. But in fairness, I mean, you know, I always try to be as fair as possible. I'm not sure that you can say the Republican Party is all that moderate anymore. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who are genuinely moderate Republicans, okay, who are right of center, but, you know, maybe just barely. And then there are people who are, like me, traditional Republicans who have, you know, conservative values and believe in small government and free markets. And then you have Trumpers, MAGA folks, who are not moderate Democrats, and they're not traditional conservatives. They've just, whatever Trump says, they believe. And I don't know what that philosophy is. It's not a philosophy. It's a person. And our party has been taken over by Trump. So, you know, Democrats have largely been taken over by the socialists, and the Republican Party has been largely taken over by Trump, and that's just where we are. Okay, so we have an election today, of course, a primary today, but I just thought it was a really interesting interview, and she led with, again, Van Jones saying, you know, he's tired of being told that if you're going to be a progressive like him, you've got to believe in crazy things, and Rahm Emanuel says, you know, we've tried what they're proposing, and every time it has failed, and he doesn't mean, like, we've tried socialism and, you know, you get Cuba and you get North Korea and you get, you know, communist Russia and China and, you know, Pol Pot. And, you know, he's not saying that. I mean, that's true. We've tried what they believe in and it doesn't work. He's saying we've tried it electorally and we get killed because Americans don't want that. And, you know, both are true. But, okay, so Shannon Bream does what a good journalist does. And she actually has Megan Romer, who's the co-chair of the Democratic Socialists of America, on to talk with her about this. And it was, I mean, it was a really interesting interview.
Okay, so there's this growing conversation about...
I did not cut that one right at all. She says there's this growing conversation about the infiltration of it all. And, you know, is it wrong of them to try to seize power from you? And her answer is essentially, we're against the duopoly. We're against the two-party system. And how do you fight that? You know, we're entrenched in it. And there's no power for a third party except to be a spoiler against the one you're most closely aligned with. You know, just like, you know, why would Trump be a Republican when he's clearly not really a traditional Republican? He's something else entirely. He's a populist, an America first isolationist to some degree. But I mean, it's hard to come up with a good label for him. He just doesn't fit anything that you would have historically thought of as a party. No, you can either try and run a, you know, third or fourth party candidacy, or you can just be on the inside of the Republican Party. And well, that's worked pretty well for him, right? To the point that traditional Republicans feel like they have to kowtow to him and, you know, either are or say they love and admire and follow him all the way down in order to get elected by the base, which largely now has followed in that same footsteps. And she says, look, you know, nobody can win on the outside. It's got to be, you got to take power from the inside because that's the only place it exists.
So should Van Jones and Rahm Emanuel and James Carville and all of the establishment Democrats be worried about DSA plans from within their tent?
Democrats, Socialists of America.
The establishment Democrats should be worried about the voters and about what the voters think and about what the constituency thinks. And right now they have not been delivering, and our candidates are and have been, and it's resonating with voters.
And I mean, she's not answering the question, you know, because part of the question is it fair for you to go and infiltrate something that you're not really representative of and try to twist it to your ends? And the answer, I think, from the DSA is, well, stop us if you can. You know, we're here. And the answer from the Democrats is stay out of our party, run your own candidates. Well, you know, do a better job of controlling your party, which, again, I see a lot of parallels here on both sides. And, you know, Republicans like me who are, you know, annoyed that Republicanism as conservatism, as we traditionally would think of it, is, I mean, largely dead in America. I mean, there are a few people like me trying to keep it alive. You know, maybe we work long term. Maybe when Trump passes from the scene, maybe it resurrects itself. Who knows? But, you know, stop them if you can. And if you can't stop them, well, tough. You know, you lose, right?
So Jamie Harrison, who was the DNC chair, after you guys had such a big night in New York City and knocking off some of those incumbents and having success with your candidates in the congressional primaries, he said, if you hate the Democratic Party, then don't run for our nomination. Don't use our resources. Don't rely on our volunteers. Don't use our infrastructure. Focus on building the party you actually support. Other Democrats out there saying this is a separate party, the DSA, you don't belong within the party. How do you respond to his statements there?
Yeah, I mean, the two parties have over years and decades created a system where ballot line access is extremely difficult for third parties. I also have been told a lot of times by Democrats, don't vote third party, it's wasting your vote. Mm-hmm. So we run on the Democratic ballot line where it makes sense. We run independents sometimes where that is a viable possibility, but it's a ballot line. And what matters is what the voters think, and the voters are overwhelmingly choosing our candidates.
I think she's exactly right. On both points. First of all, historically, you know, people have made it really hard to succeed within as an alternative. And on the other hand, or in addition, what have they always said? Well, you know, don't run as a third party. You're throwing away your vote. Which is another way of saying, well, just keep voting for our people and tough. It's the best you got. And she said, no, I don't think so. I think we're going to, you know, they have said we're going to do it a different way. We're going to run an insurgency inside the Democrat Party. Stop us if you can. It's no point for us running as a third. And by the way, the system that Republicans and Democrats have, depending on how you view it, it was either created for this reason, perpetuated for this reason, or allowed to develop and had this result. You know, in some sense, it doesn't really matter if the net result is that, you know, you only have two parties that are ever really viable in this country. You know, that is what it is, regardless of whether it was intended to be that way. And so if that's what it is, all you can do is work from the inside. It's, I mean, you know, every time there's an election, I mention this, if only because I really do not like the two-party system personally. And I would prefer for, you know, if 15% of the people want a third party, I think 15% of the people ought to have some ability to put that leverage into power. They ought to have some kind of say, and they shouldn't be shoehorned into one or the other because we've created a system that's so binary, that's an either or Democrat or Republican. And the only way I know of to really accomplish that is a thing called ranked choice voting or instant runoff voting. And that's like right now today, you have the election for the mayor in the city of Pensacola. There are six candidates. If somebody gets 51%, I mean, D.C. is the only one who has a chance of getting 51%, right? But if D.C. gets 51%, then the election's done because he got a majority on the first ballot. If he does not get 50% plus one vote, then we'll have a runoff in November. Well, why run two elections? Very inefficient. A much better way to do this would be you look at all six and you rank them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Instead of picking one, you rank them 1 through 6. And if in the first round nobody gets 51%, then you eliminate the lowest vote getter. And all of those people who had that person as their number one, you then move to their number two choice. And if nobody gets 51%, you eliminate the lowest vote getter. And then all the people who had that person, you move to their either number two or number three, depending on how they voted. It's a very simple system. It's been used in small, you know, it's used in some places. It has not caught on. The two-party system hates this concept. And the reason they hate it is because, number one, it would give third parties an advantage. It would give them the opportunity to actually learn how many people want their candidates. And Democrats and Republicans do not want that. Okay. Also, it would give, you know, any challengers a real opportunity to win, because a lot of times, what do you say? I'm voting for the, you know, the least bad of the two alternatives. Well, what if there were a third or a fourth or a fifth alternative and you could vote for them without fearing losing your vote? Because a lot of times, what do? You vote for the person who you think has a chance to win. If you don't think your candidate has a chance to win, you don't even bother voting for them. But what if a lot of other people really best like, you know, the number three candidate, but they all don't think they have a chance, so they split their votes among the one and the two, and then you get what you get. Anyway, it's a really good system. There, as far as I know, there is no actual legitimate objection to it. And that's a weird thing to be able to say. There, I mean, it's hard to, you know, find anything in this world where there's no legitimate objection to it. That's why I'm such a fan. But, you know, okay, we don't do it that way. So we're working within this system. And so you have what you have, which is, you know, win within the party. And you get told over and over, don't vote third party because it's a waste of your vote. Well, what are you going to do? Go within the party, you know, run a candidate inside and see what you can do.
They certainly did in New York and in other places, Colorado and others. It's not just a big city phenomenon or just a blue coastal phenomenon. Sure. Okay, so we're going to put up on the screen a few of the things that are part of your platform. And I want to ask you, just give me sort of a true or false on these. Abolish the Senate.
True.
Okay. Replace the presidency and Supreme Court as we now know them.
Yep.
Abolish ICE.
Absolutely.
Abolish borders and give amnesty to anyone currently in the U.S. illegally.
As a long-term plan, yep.
Defund the Pentagon.
Absolutely.
Abolish prisons, at least in large part.
Yeah, again, that as part of a long-term program, yeah.
Okay, so no prisons. Government or public ownership of most large corporations.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's what I love about the DSA folks. And whenever I talk about them here locally, and they have been coming, they started with school board, okay? They started going to school board meetings a couple years ago. And they were outspoken, and they wore their red shirts, and they said socialist on them. And I thought at the time, well, that's interesting. And then they started to go into city council meetings and growing their numbers. And they started to go into county commission meetings in Escambia County. They haven't really done much in Santa Rosa County yet. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Santa Rosa is much more Republican. They have a lot more opportunity for leverage in Escambia County, especially since Pensacola is a very purple city, right? Okay, so they have been making waves for years. And again, they started at the, you know, the highest leverage opportunity in the school district, if only because, you know, nobody pays attention to the school board meetings. Not really. And few people pay attention to city council and county commission, but, you know, it's more, but it's still not a lot. So they've been using their leverage and they've been growing their numbers. And yeah, their platform is, what's the word I want? Insane. I mean, what they want is crazy. They want to revolutionize, I mean, genuinely, the Constitution. They don't believe in the president. They don't believe in the Senate. They want direct parliamentary elections like you would have in Great Britain or Israel or somewhere, you know, where it's all representative. Which I actually, I have some sympathy for that view, but they don't want a bicameral system. They don't want checks and balances. They want a highly efficient populist government led by the House of Representatives, basically. And they don't want cops. They don't want jails. They don't want immigration challenges. I mean, open borders. When people say that like they're joking, the DSA folks are, no, we really believe in that. We want that. And if you look at their platform, and they have it online, you know, it's all the things you would think of a socialist standing for. And you think, wait, I thought this was America. You know, I thought we believed in free enterprise. I thought we believed in constitutional rights. I thought we believed in a structured system of government and checks and balances and limited, small, slow, frustrating, inefficient government. Not them. I mean, they're socialists. And you know, I don't say that as an insult. I mean, I think it kind of is, but they believe in this stuff and they're open about it and they're honest about it and they're not hiding it. You know, this is not the Red Scare of the 50s where people are scared to say they're communist for fear of losing their jobs. They're eager to say it. You know, we have socialists who are in this party that work in the school system and teach your kids, which in some ways is good because they're open and honest and we have a politically free society. In some ways, it's horrifying to think that we're in a place where people can be like, yeah, I'm a socialist. I'm teaching second grade. You know, like that's bizarre. So don't write them off because I'll say it this way. As a group, they are currently getting their stuff done more effectively than any other group in this county that I can identify. They're getting the data center ban. They're making headway on the Flock cameras. If you look at the issues that they have been working on and showing up and screaming about, in some cases screaming about, they're winning because your local boards don't want to hear it. As Steve Stroberger said at the recent county commission meeting, it's making my ears bleed. Make it go away. Yeah, because normal people aren't showing up to counter them. So we'll come back to this because it's very interesting and it's not just here. And no, they haven't won any elections, but I'm saying for people who haven't won any elections, they sure do have a lot of influence in the sense that everybody knows it's crazy, but they're still getting done what they want to get done. So don't say it can't happen here because it's happening here. 526 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a company, you have employees, you have to deal with benefits, you know, you have to deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, all of that stuff. Well, you want to do your best by your employees, right? So what you want is you want to go with a company that's going to make sure that they find the best deals every year, find the best plans every year, and then are there available for good customer service. That's Torgerson Consulting. We've been using them for 5 years here at News Radio in Cat Country. They've been in business for 25 years since 2001, helped lots of local businesses handle this stuff, and they're great. I mean, I'm just telling you, they're fantastic. They're not miracle workers. They cannot make medical plans exist that don't exist. But they will find the best one every year. They give us choices. When we went to them, I'm like, oh, my God, this is fantastic. We have choices. So, and they're great at customer service. Fantastic at answering questions. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft.
Oh, no.
That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Santa Rosa, I am Jill Broxson-Teston, a parent of four amazing children. I understand a strong school system is one of the most important investments we can make in our children's future. That's why I'm running for School Board District 5. My mission is to be your strong advocate for our public school system. I'll lead with transparency and steady leadership to help ensure the long-term success of our district. On August 18th, I'll be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxson-Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You've still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia and RSV. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and can help protect you from getting really sick. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. See more at PfizerForAll.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, informative, local, dependable.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Get back, witch!
I'm not a witch, I'm your wife! But after what you just said, I'm not even sure I want to be that anymore!
You never had it so good.
No, no, honey, I'm good. I could have another, but I probably should not. I got somebody at home.
Good morning, 529 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm going to say this as often as I can make myself remember to say it. Every single registered voter in Escambia County can vote in today's primary. Every single one of you. You might think, well, you know, particularly, I'm a Democrat. I don't have any vote. Well, if you're in District 3, you have a school board vote. I live in District 3, so you have the Williams on Williams political violence going on. You know, pick your Williams. David versus Isaac. Both doctors, both same last name. That's why it says incumbent next to David Williams by state law, as Robert Bender explained to Walker Wilson last week. But also, and, you know, if you're a Republican, at least in districts, 2 and 4, you know, you have an election today to decide whether to, you know, well, not four, sorry, in two. You have, you know, Mike Kohler versus, oh, God, sorry, I didn't mean to say one name without, I can't remember the other guy's name. I know, anyway. But everybody votes for superintendent issue. Every single person gets to vote for a superintendent issue today. And, you know, of course, if you're in the city, everybody gets to vote today on the mayor, even if you're city councilman. And I don't think there's any city council primaries today, but the mayor, there's six people in that race. So the mayor in Pensacola and the superintendent for the entire county. So, again, if you didn't think you have to vote today or get to vote today, everybody in Escambia gets to vote today.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Primary day in Florida and Alaska, where there could be some confusion on the ballot.
Both named Dan Sullivan against each other. That includes the incumbent, Dan Sullivan, who is seeking a third term. The race also includes former Congresswoman Mary Peltola. In South Florida, the 25th Congressional District, DSA-backed candidate Oliver Larkin is challenging Democratic Representative Jared Moskowitz.
Fox's Alex Hogan reporting. President Trump's senior advisor Jared Kushner speaking exclusively to Fox's Trey Yingst.
Has the Trump administration ruled out recognizing a Palestinian state?
I think before we could even talk about the political nature of a state, what we want to see is that the Palestinians can govern themselves. And I think that with the PA, they fall very, very short on the standard.
President Trump saying the U.S. is not looking to extend the memorandum of understanding with Iran. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got 78 degrees with partly cloudy skies. We'll get a full look at our forecast. That's up in just a couple of minutes. Well, polls open in just about an hour and a half across Northwest Florida for the primary election today. That'll run from 7 until 7 tonight. Ahead of Election Day, nearly 29,000 Escambia County voters already cast ballots. That puts early turnout at just over 14%, split almost evenly between mail-in ballots and early voting. In Santa Rosa County, close to 14,000 voters have already cast ballots. That puts turnout at just under 10%. Most of those came through early voting and not mail-in ballots. Escambia County voters, of course, also deciding whether the school superintendent should remain an appointed position or become an elected one. Well, the proposed boardwalk and welcome center at Navarre Beach is now out for bid, moving Santa Rosa County just a little bit closer to breaking ground on a project that's now been years in the making. Now, not everybody in Navarre is on board with that.
No one out there wants it.
That is Navarre resident Erica Thomas, who's launched a petition against the project. She's worried the boardwalk could potentially disrupt nesting sea turtles and shorebirds due to added lighting near the beach. Civil claims against former Escambia County Deputy Greg Nesmith have been dropped, although his criminal case does remain pending. Nesmith faces two counts of vehicular homicide after fatally hitting two Alabama teenagers crossing Perdido Key Drive last July while off duty. His attorneys say conflicting details between two official crash reports may have influenced the felony charges against him. They've requested a hearing to examine how the investigation was handled. Nesmith has pleaded not guilty. He's due back in court on February 17th. The Florida Department of Health in Santa Rosa County is hosting an opioid abatement summit on September 1st. That'll run from 8:30 to noon at the UFIFAS Extension Office in Milton. And community partners will share updates on local efforts to address the opioid crisis and support affected families. While aimed at organizations involved in substance use response, it is open to the public as well. Residents are encouraged to attend. Well, South Florida businesses are reportedly scrambling to fill staffing gaps after the Trump administration ended temporary protected status for Haitian immigrants in late July. According to a Wall Street Journal report, Home care agencies, nursing homes, and restaurants all across the state are reporting losing longtime employees almost overnight, with some organizations shutting down entirely. Florida's home to nearly half of the roughly 350,000 Haitian TPS holders nationwide, with about 93,000 in the state's workforce. Supporters of the policy argue it restores temporary protected status to its original temporary purpose and opens jobs for other workers. Opponents say the change is pulling essential caregivers and staff out of the economy. It's 5:35 here at News Radio. Let's get a check on our forecast from Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson.
We're going to have a hot day today with a heat advisory in place with an extreme heat warning along the coastline. Temperatures near 95 degrees, feeling well into the triple digits up to 112 or higher. 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. For Wednesday, another very hot day with a 20% chance of rain, high near 96, feeling much warmer in the triple digits. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 80. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it's 81 degrees across the area with partly cloudy skies this morning. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. CNBC reports that Anthropic told investors that its annualized revenue run rate hit $65 billion at the end of July. That's about a sevenfold increase from a year ago. NVIDIA said it has agreed to provide a guarantee of up to $105 billion to help OpenAI lease a data center in Ohio, being developed by SoftBank-owned SB Energy, in one of the chipmaker's largest infrastructure financing commitments. The firm said yesterday it will also invest $1.5 billion in SB Energy in total, months after a $1 billion investment from OpenAI and SoftBank to expand data center infrastructure. Treasury yields were higher yesterday as oil prices rose, with worries growing among investors about persistent inflation and government borrowing. The 30-year Treasury yield advanced more than 40 basis points to 5.311%. That's its highest level since June of 2007. Futures have dropped this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for and approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Join Teddy Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Experience, training, and commitment matter. I'm Linda Sanborn, and I'm running for Santa Rosa County School Board District 1. I dedicated 35 years to teaching in public schools and earned a master's degree in education. I know what it takes for students to succeed. With grandchildren in local schools, I'm committed to providing the best education for all students. I would appreciate your vote for Linda Sanborn.
Paid for and approved by Linda Sanborn, Santa Rosa School Board District 1.
Barkley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
You're the co-chair of this political party.
But that excites the minions when they hear that. Oh, tax the millionaires.
Well, it sounds good, and then I get free stuff. Yay!
Yeah, but nothing is free, man.
That's when being somebody's an adult really is a challenge, huh?
MVR, weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. It's been a couple weeks since we talked. I think the last time we had Chief on before you, and I was on vacation, so here we are talking again. Some good news we've had. By the way, no major incidents, right? Like in 2 weeks, no major incidents. I'll take it.
No, it's been very calm, and I hope I'm not jinxing myself.
Hey, I know law enforcement officers are a little skittish about that, but it's okay.
Yeah.
We have body armor for one of the canines, Dart.
Yeah, and I tell you what, we've gotten a lot of stuff donated to us as of late. Several body armors for canines and different things, and also a lot of donations to our Star Foundation. So, you know, it makes us feel really good that the public supports us so much.
No, it's a good thing. And, you know, as you say, when it comes from, it doesn't have to come from taxpayers. Somebody else is willing to do it. That's, you know, my mind, that's always the best, right? And it's a small thing, but I did want to give credit. I don't know who your social media team is, but the photo of the sheriff's, the jail, basically, that you guys oversee, the Santa Rosa County Detention Facility, with the rainbow over top. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, we get a lot of storms up in Milton for some reason, and yeah, every once in a while we get lucky.
that was a great picture. I don't really think about that, but all right, I like it. There's no pot of gold at the end of this rainbow, though, just to be sure. Nobody's, like, breaking into the jail to get the money. You had a couple of things happen educationally. One was you guys did the internet safety for parents instructional. Yeah. Is that going to be online? Is there a video version of that people are going to be able to watch in their homes?
Not yet, but we are working on it.
Okay.
So hopefully in the very near future there will be, because, you know, yeah, the parents and the biggest issue we have is we have so many parents out there who have like a 13-year-old kid with a cell phone, and they say, you know, well, I don't want to invade their privacy. That's their phone. And it's like, no, it's your phone. You paid for it, and you can look at it anytime, or they won't give me the code.
Well, they don't need to have that phone.
Be a parent. Yeah, step right up and be a parent. You take the phone, say, you get it back when you give me the code.
You know,
pretty simple.
Yeah, I think I might have mentioned this to Randy when we had him on, but, like, I think what would be really useful is a video not only for the parents to watch, but one that is designed for parents with kids to watch so that the kids can see the dangers and so that they can have a common understanding and like they can really become informed together about what the issues are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I agree 100%.
Scam alerts. People are always, they're always predating, right? But this one, the ones you guys are kind of informed about lately are the ones where people call pretending to be you guys, right?
Yeah, and I tell everybody, you know, ad nauseum, that we're never going to call you and tell you you have a warrant and you need to send us money. Normally, if you have a warrant, we want to surprise you with it. We're not going to give you heads up, hey, so you can leave the county. We're not going to call you. We're not going to do any of that. So if you get a phone call from somebody pretending to be a deputy sheriff and they say, you know, turn yourself in, or you can send money to this, it's a scam. You don't even need to call us with it. It's a scam. Trust me.
That might be, I didn't laugh on purpose because I wanted the audio clip to be preserved for David when he's going to use it later. But that explanation is my favorite I think I have ever heard. We're not going to call you to warn you. There's a warrant for you. We want that to be a surprise.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
Exactly.
I love that. I don't know if you've heard about this, or maybe even you guys use it. I mean, I don't know. But I read a story about Immigration and Customs Enforcement is either ordering or on the verge of ordering these shock gloves that are like something less than a taser, but they're meant to deliver, you know, a contact, almost like a bee sting sort of pain to people if they're trying to, you know, put hands on and put them in the car or move them along. They're not being compliant. And they said apparently this is being used in some detention facilities. Do you know anything about this? Do you guys use those?
No, we use tasers. But I tell you what, that's actually a pretty good idea because not a lot of people know this, but 90%, I think, was the last statistic I heard of people injured by getting tased is when they fall to the ground after being tased. So gloves make good sense. On the ones you could use them on, obviously, if a guy has a knife, you're not going to go up to him with gloves and try to tase him. But for some people you're just fighting with that are non-compliant, you shoot them with the taser and they fall and hit their head on concrete, you know, and the gloves would make a great substitution for that. You know, just latch onto them and take them to the ground would make it a lot safer.
Yeah, and it seems like there'd be practicality issues. I can get it in a jail because you're not bringing a gun to that fight, right? You're trying to control inmates typically. And so I can get it. It seems like just the practicality of, you know, like, hold on while I put my gloves on, you know, kind of like there might not be a lot of opportunity for it. A taser, drawn tase, a gun, drawn shoot, obviously. But I was just curious if you knew anything. But, interesting note. I didn't know that about the taser, that those are the injuries. So it's actually it's a kindness. It's a form of, you know, safer policing.
Yeah, it was safer for the suspect, for sure.
Right. And now, Sheriff, I don't know if you heard me talking about it, but this morning I've been talking a lot about flock cameras, and I have generally been supportive of the license plate readers because I see the value. They solve crimes, they solve car thefts, they solve kidnappings, they solve murders. I mean, I see the law enforcement value. It's a no-brainer that they're useful. But I have kind of switched. I am much more on the fence now because I'm not worried about what Bob Johnson and his deputies are doing with these things, frankly, or at Eric Winstrom or Sheriff Simmons. I trust our local law enforcement and I trust our guys. I'm concerned about abuses and what happens in the hands of a bad government and the idea of protecting people's liberty to move around. I think they're constitutional, but I'm concerned about the next steps and about preserving, you know, that kind of what Larry Downs Jr. calls that dangerous liberty. Like, I understand that if we don't have them, it will mean looking at some mom and telling her you couldn't find her kid because people complained. But we have constitutional limits on people's on your law enforcement all the time. So where are you at on this? I'm suddenly very much on the fence on these things.
Yeah, and it's understandable. You know, we grew up under the Big Brother, you know, reading 1984 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
About Big Brother, you know, basically controlling every aspect of your life. But I would say this. And there are abuses of it, 100%. I mean, you have them all over the country. So there are going to be abuses. But, like, let's just say that occurs at Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, and I find one of my deputies used it to stalk his girlfriend, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to fire him. And my deputies know this. If it's not used for just official purposes, we will take care of business at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. But I would say this. It's not doing anything that deputies don't do on a daily basis. The Supreme Court says, while we're riding around in our car and I have an MCT in my car right now, I can run anybody's tag I want. I don't have to have probable cause, reasonable suspicion. I don't have to have any reason. I can be behind a car and just say, put the plate in, and it comes back with the exact same information that the flock camera does. So it's being done anyways, just not on the same level, at the same speed and that kind of thing. So I would say this. As long as the people who abuse it are held accountable and fired when they do that, I think I'm okay with it. But I agree with you. If it gets out of hand or they say, hey, let's implement this to where you'll get more information. Because right now, all it does is searches for tags that are entered. So it'll read 10,000 tags in a day.
Right.
But it's only going to ping and bring up the tags that we put in that we're looking for, i.e. kidnap people, stolen vehicle, things of that nature. So, yeah, is it running your tag? Yeah. If you're a law-abiding citizen, we're never going to know your tag was run. We're going to have no clue. You're going to have no clue. Nobody's going to have a clue because we're not looking at your information. We're only looking for the people that are breaking the law or, you know, missing people, Alzheimer's patient, you know, stuff like that. That's all we're doing. But I understand also the other aspect and the aspect you just said, you know, the government overreach and knowing where you're at all the time, and it is, you've got a lot of different things that do that, i.e. you buy a brand new car. your car is reporting all the time.
Right.
It's got a little black box like an airplane does. Everything you do goes to back to the Chevy or Dodge or whatever, and they sell that to insurance companies. So, I mean, you're being watched whether you like it or not. The only way to fix it is to get you a car pre-1980 and take the tag off it. That's going to be the only way you're not going to get watched.
And so, I agree with all of that. And I would actually say kind of the pushback is, and maybe we need to start seriously revisiting all of that stuff, you know, because the idea that, like, for example, it's in a public area. I get that. But, you know, is it good to have not just, say, 200 Santa Rosa County Sheriff's deputies, but to have 10,000 of them? Because, the as you say, the scale at which it can surveil people is enormous. You know, it wouldn't have the benefit it had if it doesn't have that enormous scale advantage. But that enormous scale advantage is exactly what I'm concerned about. And you're right. Like, your phone tracking you, your car tracking you, people's Ring doorbells, all of that. And what I'm saying is, I'm not taking for granted that those things are good either. I'm beginning, you know, I'm questioning kind of all of that, because my concern is not, you know, what the Santa Rosa County Commission or what Bob Johnson, you know, Sheriff Bob Johnson is doing. I'm genuinely concerned, as many constitutional things is, we're not concerned what happens in a good government. We're concerned what happens in a bad government. And if Tallahassee shifts and we become more California or New York, or, you know, what would J.B. Pritzker like to do with this? You know, that's where my head is at, and worse people. And the way you prevent the abuses is by preventing the incremental slide towards empowering those abuses. And that's kind of where my concerns are.
Yeah. And I would say this, you know, is it worth it to have the flock cameras? And I would say, you know, ask the mother of, you know, the person we find that's been kidnapped or whatever. They'll say yes. So if you never need a flock camera ever in your life, which is possible, you never need a flock camera. Your car is never stolen. You don't have a member of your family kidnapped. You don't. Your father's got Alzheimer's and driven off, and you never need a flock camera. You're probably going to be against them, and I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah.
But for the people who have needed them, and we've saved lives with them, recovered their stolen cars with them, and different things like that, you ask them, and I guarantee you, they'll say, "Oh, I don't have a problem with flock cameras." So you're going to have people on both sides of the fence.
And that's, by the way, I totally agree. That's the place to ask the question is, are you willing to endure more kidnapped kids, more stolen cars, more unsolved murders?
Right.
Because that is what will happen if you prohibit them. And where my thinking is on this is, we already accept there's all kinds of crimes that happen and don't get punished because we put limits on what government can do when we're doing things the government doesn't like. And I think that's the right, I think that's absolutely the right question. Are we willing as a society to endure more of those, you know, like looking a mom in the eye and say, "Hey, we couldn't find your kid because of this technology we're not allowed to use, but we also avoid this despotic government having this technology that we're not allowed to use." That's the trade-off, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, what they say with the American judicial system, you know, it's geared to where 100 guilty people will go free before one innocent man goes to prison.
Right.
And it's, you know, that's the kind of government we want. We don't want innocent people going to prison. And if it takes, you know, some scumbags getting off, they get off. I mean, we'll deal with them later.
Right.
But so that's the government that we started with. And is it moving in a different direction? You know, some people say yes. I say it is a little bit, but I don't think it's out of control. And when it comes to flock cameras, I think the good outweighs the bad. But if they come out tomorrow and say no more flock cameras, we'll do business as we did back in, you know, the early 2000s before flock cameras. We'll keep going. We're going to still try to solve crimes as best we can and put people in jail as best we can. So it is what it is.
Well, I really appreciate you having a conversation with me about this, because I think people, you know, they want to hear this discussion, and it's important to have. And you know, I'm hearing encouraging things from you, which is exactly what I want from my sheriff. I want my sheriff thinking about my constitutional liberties and the purpose of our government and nature of liberty, in addition to whatever's legal. You know, the Supreme Court can say it's okay. That doesn't mean that it's a good thing.
Right.
So, but I know we agree about that. Sheriff Johnson, Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff, thank you so much for the time, as always, for doing what you do to keep us safe, both from bad guys and also from, you know, even the government itself, which you represent. I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Take care.
And by the way, I mean that genuinely. Like, one of the things that you want a law enforcement officer to do is be self-restrained. You know, the cop, the beat cop, the deputy, the sheriff, the police chief, you want them to love the Constitution and your rights so much that they don't do the things, even the things that they're able to do. You want them thinking all the time, hey, is this, you know, advancing America? Or is this, you know, kind of not advancing America? I want them to think that way. Now, one of the things that I think is going on with the flock cameras right now, you know, has been, is that a lot of law enforcement, they think about crime. Their only job in life is to solve crimes, right? Prevent crime, solve crimes, you know, catch criminals. And so anything that facilitates that, there's a tendency, it's kind of the, you know, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. You know, there's not a lot of self-questioning or internal circumspection about whether or not to use the tool. There's just, hey, people hired me to solve crime. I got a tool. I'm going to use it. It's legal. The Supreme Court says good, good. And that's understandable. It's part of the reason why you don't necessarily let the sheriff decide what is a lawful tactic or technique. Just like you don't let a victim sit on the jury. You know, the mom whose kid goes missing and you tell her we can't find your kid because we're not allowed to use license plate readers. Well, that's not the person that you let make decisions about people's constitutional liberties because, you know, what will a mom say to do? Torture them. Do anything you need to do. Like, no limits. And that's part of the problem. But again, this is exactly the conversation we ought to be having, is are we willing to endure more crime in order to protect against tyranny? That's the essential trade-off. And we do that in a lot of things, and we have become more reluctant to do that in some other things, and you know, that's the adult conversation that we should be having in this country. 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay, and if you're thinking about your next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an excellent selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are, you know, you think of a used car place as like the place where, you know, you can get almost anything, including that car that's got 280,000 miles and it's 15 years old. They don't sell that kind of car. They sell cars that are like 10, 20, 30,000 miles, you know, 1 to 2 years young, one owner, maybe two, probably a lease a lot of times. But sometimes people own them and they come and, you know, they trade them into them and go buy a different car. But they're cars that are great condition, just not brand new. So you get a good price on a car you can drive to 100,000 miles or 10 years because they warranty them at least that far and they'll take good care of you. But, you know, the idea is a car you can count on at a good price and with people who treat you like they want to see you again, not like they're trying to get everything over on you the first time. That's it. Good people doing a good thing with good cars. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Today, Escambia County voters face an important decision about the future of our schools. The question is simple. Do we keep the current appointed superintendent model or go back to electing a superintendent through a political campaign? Our community leaders and business people believe the appointed model gives our school board the ability to conduct an open, public search and hire the most qualified candidate, not just the person with the best name recognition. It creates a clear line of accountability because voters elect the school board, and the school board holds the superintendent accountable. And under the appointed model, Escambia County reached a major milestone. For the first time since Florida's statewide grading system began, there were no D or F-rated public schools in Escambia County. Protect progress and keep qualifications ahead of politics. Vote no today to keep the current appointed superintendent model for our Escambia County schools. Again, vote no today to keep the current appointed superintendent model for our Escambia County schools. This message is brought to you by the Business Alliance and this radio station.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Hello, I'm Colonel Eric W. Shorter, and I'm running for mayor. I'm a true son of Pensacola and a product of multiple generations of public servants. My goals are simple. Vertical economic initiatives. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Affordability in housing. Neighborhood revitalization. And education reformation. Citywide opportunity is possible, and I'm not guessing. Vote for the positive choice. Colonel Eric W. Shorter for mayor of Pensacola.
Paid and approved by Colonel Eric Shorter. Candidate for mayor of Pensacola.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm the smartest guy in the world? Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. You got the highest score in history. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
You just need to watch Idiocracy. I mean, that's all there is to it. By the way, just a small note on the whole discussion about flock cameras and technology. On the one hand, the argument is that we already do this, right? You're already tracked and on video and whatever. Well, if that's true, then it's not a big difference from what's already going on. Okay, then it's not a big deal to get rid of it either. It's not much different than what's already happening. Or, on the other hand, you get told that this is a vital law enforcement tactic and capability, in which case it means we're not already doing it. So there's a tension between the argument that you are already subject to these same kinds of surveillance, while on the other hand saying, but this is a vast and different effectiveness tool. You can't have
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3 WNRP Golf.